It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, our guest shares emerging ideas for shaking up the education system in the United States.
First, when we talk about gun violence in the United States, there's often a focus on fatalities, generally around 10,000 deaths a year by gun homicide and 20,000 by suicide. In Wisconsin, there's been a lot of attention to gun deaths in Milwaukee. The number just hit 121, putting the city on a course for the deadliest year in a decade.
As tragic as they are, fatalities are just part of the story. The Centers for Disease Control reports that upwards of 80,000 people suffered gunshot injuries in 2013, the most recent year with data available.
Our next guest wanted to know what's life like after being shot. He's talked to young men in urban neighborhoods about the impacts of a gunshot wound, physically, mentally, and financially.
Ju-Young Lee joins us now. He's assistant professor of sociology at the University of Toronto and senior fellow in Yale University's Urban Ethnography Project. He's doing research on a book about gunshot wound survivors. Ju-Young, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, what led you to this topic of non-fatal gunshot wounds?
So that's probably one of the most common questions I get as a researcher, and I actually became interested in studying non-fatal gunshot injuries while hanging out with aspiring rap artists in Los Angeles. So before I embarked on this long-term study of gunshot victims in Philadelphia, I was spending time in the underground hip-hop scene in Los Angeles, and many of the young men that I was following around and writing about had grown up in neighborhoods in which there was chronic shootings and chronic gang violence between different gangs fighting over turf. And more specifically, one of the main characters from this book that I finished up called Blowing Up Rap Dreams in South Central was shot midway through my research. And at that time, I actually hadn't thought a lot about gun violence aside from the kind of chronic exposures to shootings in one's neighborhood. But this particular individual was shot, and over the years, I watched how this single event transformed his life. I watched how he struggled to adjust to his new body. I watched how this event took him out of the underground hip-hop scene where he was starting to make a lot of waves and pretty much put him out of everyone's radar. And so his experiences really raised a bunch of questions for me as a researcher, and I wanted to know, you know, what's it like for other people who also get shot in inner-city environments? And so after that, I went to a postdoctoral fellowship at the University of Pennsylvania that was funded by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. And in this position, I was given access to a hospital at the University of Pennsylvania and to an outpatient trauma clinic where I got to meet with people who had been shot in Philadelphia and in the greater Philadelphia region. And so on Friday afternoons, I would go into the outpatient trauma clinic and just talk to people. A lot of people were sitting around waiting to be seen by doctors or specialists, and they had a lot of time to kill. And so nurses would screen people and say, there's a guy here who is very curious about learning about your experiences. Would you like to talk to him? And so we would go from there.
Let's start with the health impact of surviving a gunshot wound. We see the action movies, people are shot. In this scene, two scenes later, they're back to normal. What's it like in the real world? What kind of consequences are there?
Yeah, so one of the main reasons why I also wanted to do this work is that we have a lot of misconceptions, popular misconceptions about what gun violence looks like and also how it affects people. And some of this is definitely shaped by, as you alluded to, these Hollywood movies that make gun violence look a certain way. You know, a lot of the kinds of things we see in movies portrays people being able to, for example, walk through gunfire and portrays people as seemingly impervious to this kind of thing. But the stories that I collected in Philadelphia were very different. They were of people whose lives were basically derailed significantly by the injuries that they suffered in shootings. And so many of the people that I spent time with in Philadelphia were victims who had retained bullets, who had bullets still lodged in their bodies and were uncertain about where these bullets were traveling and if they were going to cause them additional health problems down the road. Other people had colostomy bags and had a whole series of adjustments that they had to make while living with this this bag that was, you know, both shameful and an ongoing health concern. Others had chronic pain. So chronic pain is actually one of the number one health problems faced by non-fatal victims. People who have had retained bullets or who simply just have multiple gunshot wounds often have lingering injuries that transform just their basic sense of being in the world. And so everyday things like brushing your teeth, let alone going to work, can become very difficult and painful.
Talking to sociologist Ju-Young Lee, who's studying the impact of gunshot wounds for survivors. And Ju-Young, adding to the damage there, I assume a lot of the people you're talking to don't have access to a lot of healthcare coverage.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So one of the main things that we found over the last 20, 30 years in gun violence research is that shootings, both fatal and non-fatal, are not randomly distributed in the U.S. population. We know that they're concentrated most heavily within the most disadvantaged communities of color. And this is true for cities like Milwaukee, places like Philadelphia, St. Louis, and so forth. And so many of the people that I was following did not have access to health care and ended up, you know, I remember one story in particular of a guy who was one of the main first people I met in Philadelphia who had been shot a number of times and who had retained bullets in his body and one of the, had lost the use of his right hand because of nerve damage caused by one of the bullets that entered and exited his body. And, you know, this guy was in just a ton of pain and would go and hustle for pain medications on the streets. And so I spent a lot of time with him when he went into different communities to try and find people who had prescription painkillers like Percocet that could help him stave off some of this pain that had taken over his life. And so one of the things that I really, I guess, learned from this experience was that we sort of know that rehabilitative services are absolutely essential for wounded combat veterans who return from war and other places and whose bodies are damaged badly by gunfire and other kinds of injuries. But the same kinds of ongoing rehabilitative care doesn't exist for gunshot victims in urban poor neighborhoods. And this is a big problem that I'm hoping to address.
We've talked about the physical consequences. How about mental and emotional? This is obviously a traumatic experience.
Oh, definitely. And this is actually one of the hardest things for researchers to really unpack because many people who get shot are living in situations and neighborhoods where it's not common or it's not part of the culture to open up and talk about one's vulnerability. So many of the people who I followed in Philadelphia were young black men who lived in places where being tough and being seen as being tough was a vital part of being a young man, of one's masculinity. And these were places where people are ashamed to admit that they're scared or that they've been frightened or that they're suffering. Now, one of the things that I found was that people who live in these places are exposed to routine situations that sort of re-trigger flashbacks and this sense of trauma. So, for example, one of the victims that I would follow around was shot by somebody who drove a taxi cab in Philadelphia. And every time he saw a taxi cab circling his block, which was multiple times per day, he had this post-traumatic stress reaction where his heart started to race and where he started to feel as if he was under threat. Another person that I follow was out with his friends and family one night, and the story is especially sad because he had been basically socially isolated after he had been shot, and he tried to avoid crowded places and settings in which other people were getting shot or where there were armed robberies or even fights, for that matter. He was out one night with some friends at a bowling alley, and he heard the sounds of bowling pins smashing, like during somebody's frame. And this experience re-triggered all of these memories of the night when he got shot and when he thought he was going to die. So these experiences are really hidden because people don't really talk about them that often. And part of my role as an ethnographer, which is what sociologists call somebody who spends a lot of time in a community and writes about people's lives from their perspective, one of my goals was to really try and listen to people and try to immerse myself into their lives so that they would feel comfortable talking about these things.
Ju Young, thanks for sharing their stories and your ongoing research with us today.
Thank you for having me.
That was Ju Young Lee. He's an assistant professor of sociology at the University of Toronto and senior fellow in Yale University's Urban Ethnography Project.